This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod.
Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, even though this is the 2018 Stanley Cup champion team, man, last 2 weeks, they have definitely not felt like Stanley Cup champions. I know there's different teams and different people, but woo, what a difference. This team is in a rut of ruts, and Brian McClellan, GM, thinks he has the answer. And we welcome everybody to the show. We need to welcome the newest Capital, Brendan Dillon, to the show as well. Hopefully he's listening to us, studying up on the fan base. Joining me as always, talk all about Brendan Dillon, Matt Dillon's brother. Coach Dan, what's going on?
I don't think he's Matt Dillon's brother.
He could be.
His fiance's brother actually plays for the Bears. I think he just got recalled.
Really?
Yeah, I think he was in South Carolina, and then they actually just recalled him yesterday, today, something like that.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
He had a nice little connection to the team, kind of.
Yeah. So. Well, let's start off the show. Let's talk about Brendan Dillon. He was traded from the San Jose Sharks to the Washington Capitals. Kind of hard on the guy. He gave a very heartfelt goodbye to the team and to the media. You could tell he didn't want to leave the Sharks. I'm sure he's excited to come to DC and play for the Capitals, but still, I mean, this is hard on anybody, getting traded, moving to a new city, uprooting your family, that type of thing. But what do you know about Brendan Dillon? I don't know that much about him. I know he's a he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's like 225, something like that. He's a big guy. He's a defensive defenseman. I don't know a lot about him because he's playing out in San Jose. But I was reading that he was playing with Brent Burns on their top pairing, so that's definitely a good thing to see, even if they are a team that's been struggling. He's got 14 points this season, so he's not necessarily an offensive dynamo, but he can contribute offensively from time to time. But I think what they really need is someone that's going to be able to come in and solidify their defense to an extent, and plug up some of the holes, because their defense lately has been just very poor. They've definitely struggled defensively lately, and it's cost this team a lot. I mean, I think in the game against Vegas, I think when Vegas scored, it was something like the last five games or something around there, the Caps have given up the first goal of each game, which is not a good statistic.
Yeah, this, for them. This team is definitely in trouble defensively. Hopefully this guy can come in and give a little spark or something. Brian McClellan said something very interesting to me. I was kind of shocked that the Capitals didn't give away a player. They gave away a couple draft picks to
A second round pick in 2020. It's the pick they got from Colorado, I think, in the Burakovsky deal.
Okay.
And a conditional third round pick in 2021.
Right. So, I mean, they didn't really lose too much to bring in Brendan Dillon. But I was surprised a player didn't leave. But he said now this solidifies the seventh defenseman. And if you aren't playing the way you should, you will be sitting. And he specifically called out Kempney and Nick Jensen. So for the GM to bring in another player and call out these two players, I think he's pretty much placing the blame on those two guys and saying, like, you're not getting it done. You're not up to snuff. We're bringing in somebody who we think will be better.
I didn't see those specific comments. I don't know if I necessarily like that he would kind of throw those two guys under the bus. I think it's the defense entirely has been struggling. It hasn't just been Kempney. Jensen's been having a rough season in general. So that's going to be an interesting thing to keep an eye on going forward, and definitely in the offseason. Dillon is scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. I would like to see the team kind of wait and see how he does before they decide to offer him a new deal. Or if it doesn't work out, you just let him go. And, you know, not really a lot of harm done. Yeah, you've lost a second-round pick, but it's not your second-round pick. You know, if you end up in a, you know, going further than Colorado, maybe you would rather hung on to theirs. But either way, it's not the end of the world. And you still have some cap space to potentially bring him back next season if you choose to do so. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think he, you know, McClellan came out and said he sees him as he'll likely be playing on the, or he will be playing, I think is what he said, as part of the top four. So the question is he going to skate with Orlov or Carlson? And I actually thought, I think Samantha Pell of the Washington Post was saying that he likely would actually be skating with Carlson on the top pairing. And I found that to be rather interesting. And maybe Kempney gets bumped down to play with Orlov. And then you have a third pairing of Singenthaler and either Jensen or Gudis.
Another interesting thing about this trade with bringing in Brendan Dillon, like we said at the top of the show, he's a big boy. He's 6'4", whatever you said, 225, something like that.
I think I saw 225, probably around there.
The Capitals are, again, going against the trend, and they're not getting lighter. They're not getting faster. They're not worried about speed. They're going after big, hard-hitting players. Do you think this is a smart move by the Capitals to kind of go like, all right, this is the trend. We're just going to counter that by getting the biggest, beefiest guys we can get. And they might not be fast, but, you know, they'll knock you down if they have to. Because, I mean, you got Ratko Gudas, you got Tom Wilson, you've got now Brendan Dillon, you've got Garnett Hathaway, who they have some history we'll talk about in a little bit. But this is a team not built for speed, built for bulk. Built for, do you think they're, I don't know, it kind of just dawned on me, do you think they are more worried about the longevity of the game, you know, of not getting too winded and being able to play a full 60 minutes, or if it goes longer than that? I don't know. What do you think the method is of thinking of bringing in a guy that you've already got some big heavy hitters on this team? Why bring in another one?
I think they definitely wanted to bring in someone that is defensive-minded first as a defenseman and not necessarily going to be jumping up into the rush as often. I think they wanted to bring in someone that, because they knew that defense is a big part of why they've been struggling lately. You know, some games they haven't really been scoring enough goals, but some they have. The defense is playing pretty poor. They're doing a lot, and specifically Orlov, a lot of poor outlet passes, lots of turnovers that is costing them opportunities and putting them in bad spots. And I think that McClellan saw this and went, look, I got to bring in someone else who can play a defensive game, who can keep the puck out of their net. And the fact that he's big and physical is a bonus. Now, does this meet against a smaller, speedy team, they might be in trouble? Possibly. Or they could just beat up on the smaller team. You know, one of those two things is likely an option. I think if they go up against a team that speed is their game, they might struggle a little bit. But they've gotten through teams like that before, so I'm not overly concerned about the fact that they have a bunch of big, heavy dudes at the moment. I find it interesting that four of their defensemen are all 29.
Which four?
Gudas, Kempney, Jensen, and Dillon.
Gudas is only 29?
Right? He looks like he's 53.
He looks like an old guy.
I think it's the beard.
Maybe.
Not 53. He looks like he'd be in like his mid-30s because of the beard. I think he's probably one of those guys that, like, if he's shaved, he looks like he's 12. But then when you have the beard, you look like you're in your like mid to late 30s. So, that's kind of, I was actually looking at the overall age of the team right now. I mean, the average age of their forwards is 28.6, 28 on defense, and 26 with the goaltender. So, I found that to be interesting. But they've got a bit older guys. I mean, you got a bunch of 29-year-olds, a 28-year-old in Orlov, and a 30-year-old in Carlson, who was out my way today, actually. I don't know if you want to talk about that real quick.
I was surprised you weren't there.
No, because the line was ridiculously long and I had to go pick up my kid. And I was like, I'm not standing this long, stupid line for like an hour to say hi to Carlson and then have my kid be like freaking out. I went to go pick him from daycare and he was napping and he had been down for maybe like 15 minutes. I was like, oh, he's going to be cranky. It's not going to go. He's already in bed. So he's usually going to go to bed until maybe 9 o'clock. He's already out.
That
been out
kid, for that about kid 20 is minutes. Living it.
He's living his best life right now. He's eating, sleeping, pooping. That's what he's doing. But this is more of a conversation for the offseason, not the pooping part. The conversation about the age of some of these guys. But I think they're one of the oldest teams. They're definitely one of the heaviest teams in the league. And I think they're average age-wise, they're one of the older teams in the league, which is going to be a problem for them in a few years. But in regards to the defense, it feels a little bit better now. I don't expect them to go out and acquire another person without moving someone else out. I think if you're someone like Martin Fervari, you're maybe a little bit like, oh, I would have had my chance and now it's gone. But I think he definitely has a chance in the offseason. There's an opportunity for this team to change things up a little bit. Going into next season, I mean, you have Carlson, Orlov, Kempney, and Jensen are the only guys under contract. So you have four of your seven defensemen you have a contract for next season. Singenthaler is scheduled to be a restricted free agent. So I have to imagine he'll be back. But then, you know, if things go well with Dylan, I could wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to bring him back and actually look to move out Orlov or Jensen and, you know, bring up some of the young guys at that point. But so, I like the move. I like what they're doing. And they're apparently not done. I think McClellan's still looking around for a bottom six forward that could come in.
Yeah, I can see that as well. But like you said, Martin Fehervari, do you think a lot of this deal was done due to the fact that maybe he didn't impress as much as the team or the coaches would have hoped?
No, because I don't think you're necessarily going to put him in that position of being like,
I can't see him with Carlson.
Well, no, I think they wanted a top four defenseman that could play on the top pairing if need be. And that's too much for him to play. And I don't think they were comfortable with any of their third pairing defensemen in Gudis and Sengenthaler taking that spot. So I think it made complete sense for them to go out and acquire someone. I don't think they gave up too much to get him. And I think it was a good move. I think, as usual, everyone's making moves a week before the freaking deadline. But which is going to make Monday super boring. But I think it was a good move. And if you, you know, you get an opportunity to look, give him a look, see what you got, and then decide if you want to re-sign him. Don't pull a Kempney, although that's worked out for the most part, or Jensen, less so, and sign them to new deals before you really got, you know, you get to see what they're all about.
Now,
and it's a risk because, sorry, not to cut you off. Yeah. It's a risk because maybe he plays really well and he actually ends up costing you more, or you lose him because he costs too much. So it's a risk either way. But with the amount of young defensemen they have and the opportunities potentially in the offseason to acquire someone, I'm not that concerned about it.
All right, so we're recording this on Wednesday night. As of right now, I believe Dylan landed on from his plane around 4 o'clock. It's a little before 9 o'clock right now as we record this. There's a chance he plays against Montreal on Thursday night. Now, Brian McClellan came out and said he's the seventh man. If you're not playing up to where you should be, Dylan's going to be taking your spot. So let's say Dylan is ready to go on Thursday night. He's going to be up against Montreal. Who sits on defense?
I think right now it's Gudis or Jensen.
Even though Gudis was not called out by the GM.
No, I mean, I think in the end it's going to be Reardon's call.
Yeah.
So I think it's whoever he feels is the odd man out. Now you also have to look at the right and left. If they sit someone like Jensen, if you sit, because they brought in Dylan as a left-handed defenseman, Orlov is a lefty, Kempney's a lefty, Dylan, actually that fits. So yeah, I think it's either Jensen or Gudis, who are both, I believe, right-handed.
We brought this up earlier a little bit. Garnett Hathaway and Brendan Dylan have a little bit of history, and those two guys actually fought each other. If you watch the fight on HockeyFights.com, it was a slobber knocker. It was a good one. It was, you know, some haymakers being thrown there. What do you think that first conversation is as they now share a locker room together after, you know, you punched a guy in the face a couple times?
I feel like this happens more often than not in the NHL than obviously any other sport, because you're not really allowed to punch people in the face in other sports. So I think it's one of those things where they're probably used to at this point. Didn't Hathaway, when we brought him in, he had fought Wilson before. So maybe they did. I can't remember. But either way, it might be kind of a funny conversation, or if someone actually, I'm sure the players probably aware by now. Yeah. So maybe someone makes a joke about it, kind of break the ice. But I don't think it's a situation where they come in the room and they're like, all right, let's go. It might just be a quick conversation.
I think they just go, all right, for old time's sake, let's punch each other in the face one more time. Then we'll call it even.
Throw down at practice. We'll be all good.
All right, so let's recap what happened within the last week. Besides that trade, the Capitals went out west, completely stunk up the joint, terrible play, lost to the Coyotes, lost to the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't even think this team showed up for the Golden Knights game. It was a bore of a game. They were able to get a win in Colorado, but still, sloppy play. What's the word I'm looking for? Not unrealistic.
Crap.
Crap.
The word you're looking for is crap.
Not unspirited. What is the word I'm looking for?
They're unenthused.
unenthused play, a lack of energy. What happened to this team within the last week? Did they just not want to be on the road? Is the fact that the national spotlight's on Ovi right now a factor? What is going on with this team? They just they can't seem to get anything together. It seems like this team is in some sort of funk. They're out of sync with each other. What's going on here?
So I think the national spotlight definitely hasn't helped. You know, constantly having that circus around you. I don't know if it's bothered Ovechkin per se. It seems like he's still playing well. I think it's been going on for longer than that. The team has been struggling for a while now. And I think some of it is an effort thing. Some of it is a mental thing. And I think they just need to, you know, I think maybe bringing in someone like Dylan can help in terms of refocusing them and getting everyone else to kind of be like, oh, at least defensively being like, all right, well, maybe aside from Carlson, that I need to focus on my job and make sure I'm doing what I need to do so I can keep my spot in the lineup and stay on this team. Because come the offseason, if things don't go well, I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of moves get made. But they're in a bad spot right now. I think both mentally, not physically per se, because you know they're doing all right. But I think mentally, this team's in a tough spot right now, and it's hard to get out of that kind of funk when you're stuck in it. And I think that it's going to be on the coaching staff to find a way to get these guys to wake up and start playing some better hockey.
Now, even though we brought this up early in the season, around October, November, I want to say it was October, but you said it's all on the coaching staff to kind of get this team going and get them out of this funk. Does this coaching staff have the skill to do that?
Well, if you ask a lot of people on the internet, the answer is no. But the internet is crazy, so it's tough to say exactly. I mean, there's a reason. I feel like there is a reason that a number of NHL teams wanted to talk with Todd Reirden before he became the head coach of the Capitals. So there's something there. I don't know if it's necessarily him. There's a lot of questions about the special teams right now. And is it Blaine Forsythe? He's the one that focuses on that. There's a lot of questions surrounding him and his role and if he's, you know, doing an adequate or a good enough job. There's some question about the assistants in terms of are they doing what they need to do. I think Reirden has, you know, ripped into these guys a bit. I think some of it is they have to get them motivated, but they're also adults that are paid a lot of money. Even the guys that aren't paid a lot in terms of sports are still paid a lot of money in the real world to play this game. And so for them to act like, oh, woe is me. No, I know it's a long season and your body is beat up and you're tired and your muscles are sore. But you've been doing this, you've been playing this for a while. None of this is new. And for the guys who have been here a while, the guys that you look to pick up this team and make a run, you made that run 2 years ago. You saw what it takes. You know what it is now. You know what you need to do. So, you know, hopefully this is just a longer funk than you're used to seeing. And they find a way to come out of it and really make something here, because they have a really good opportunity if they can play together and play well and focus. And we have not seen that from this team. We definitely have not seen that from this defense in quite a while. Maybe Carlson being at the only Giant will help. Maybe he got some fresh produce.
He's an organic guy.
I wonder if anybody there gave him crap. Hey, you guys not playing too well. Yeah, thanks. That's helpful.
I highly doubt it. I will say, though, in my Facebook memories just from like the last couple of years have kind of popped up, and I miss John Carlson playing for Team USA. Looking at some of my posts from what was that, 6 years ago, getting up early, watching the USA hockey team and rooting for John Carlson. That was a lot of fun back in the day. So I hope we get to do that again, but let's talk about Alex Ovechkin. He's 2 goals away from 700. Still, he has gone 4 games without scoring a goal.
He's never going to score again.
That is kind of unheard of. Do you think it's Ovi buckling under the pressure of the national spotlight? I can't believe that would be it. Because the NBC really wants people to see that 699 and 700 goal. But what is going on? I kind of feel as if the opposing teams are sticking on Ovi a little bit more than normal because they don't want to be the team that he scores his 700th goal on. I you could tell in the Vegas game, you know, Ovi had a shadow the entire game. He wasn't given much room to play. So what is it? Why haven't we seen the 700th goal yet? What's he waiting for?
Well, if you're a good team, you're going to shadow him whether he's going for 700 or his, you know, fifth goal in his career. Like, you know, he's a star player. He's a once in a lifetime, a generational talent, and you know you have to focus on him. And when you see those games they play where he gets a wide open shot, you're like, how?
Right.
Did you, like, it's not a surprise. You're like, oh, he's pretty good. Like, we know he scored 698 goals. We know he's pretty good at this hockey thing. And so for a team, it makes complete sense that they, I'm thinking the same thing. They don't want him to get those goals against him. It's going to happen. Well, probably. It'll likely happen at some point. When? I don't know. But hopefully, you know what? Sunday would be perfect. But we'll see if it happens. You know, it's kind of nice that it didn't happen on the road, but it would have been nice if the other guy stepped up and played better so they could get a couple more wins. Because now they're second in the division. Penguins caught them. They're what? They're a point behind, but Pittsburgh has a game in hand. So that's kind of a problem in regards to winning the division. And so they're, you know, they're in a tough spot. I think Ovechkin is still playing well. I think he'll find ways to get his shots. He's had shots that haven't gone necessarily on net. And you want to see the other guys take this opportunity if the other team's focusing heavily on Ovechkin, that you want to see the other guys take this opportunity and get some points for themselves. Because then the teams must focus on those guys, and then Ovechkin's got a better chance of getting a goal.
I mean, TJ Oshie seems to be lightening it up pretty well. I mean, he
took advantage.
Yeah, he's definitely taken advantage of that.
Nobody else did.
But, you know, in the last couple of games, we also have seen the loss of no Yevgeny Kuznetsov on the ice as well. How big of an impact has Kuzi not being there been?
You know, it probably makes, yeah, you lose a guy with that kind of talent, it's going to affect you in some way, shape, or form. But Eller is a pretty good replacement. I think Kuznetsov, it sounds like he'll be back soon.
Yeah, so they were kind of surprised he didn't play in Vegas.
You know, you take an extra day, let him go out gambling, and he'll be fine. Yeah, no. Honestly, you gave another day of rest. You feel like you have a good enough team. They probably do have a good enough team. They should have played better. They should have beaten Arizona, and they should have at least made a better effort against Vegas.
I will say I got to see about half of that Arizona game before I passed out. That was a late night.
Yeah, that I saw that game. I was actually able to stay up, surprisingly.
Oh, nice. Good for you.
I think I missed the it was Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And I went out bowling, so I think I missed the first period.
It is expensive to bowl nowadays.
Yeah, it ain't cheap. And it's not, well, the place I went's like, it's okay. And I did okay. But, yeah, it's I think I caught after the first period. I caught the end of the first period. But, no, I mean, you look at those games, you go, wow, you guys, you're better than this.
Yeah.
You know, and if it was earlier in the season, they went through this struggle, I think we'd be questioning the coaching staff, including Reardon, and we'd be like, you know what? Maybe these aren't the guys to lead this team forward. Now, with that said, it's, you know, I don't know who you're going to bring in to replace him. I don't think you're going to go to one of your assistants because I don't think they're necessarily going to do anything better. If anything, they would get worse. So if they want to make a change like that, I think you definitely have to wait until the offseason before you make those kind of moves.
Well, before we get to the offseason, this Sunday, we've got those pesky Penguins coming back to D.C. I mean, not too long ago, it was again a Sunday matinee. What, 3 weeks ago, the Penguins were in D.C. again?
Yeah, we're only allowed to play the Penguins on Sundays.
Yeah,
during the day.
At noon.
Not allowed any other time.
But with them overtaking the Metro, this is a bigger game than it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. It's always big against the Penguins, but now these are critical points to get away from the team that is the lead in the Metro right now. What is your game plan going into the game against the Penguins? What do you think is going to be the keys to beating Sidney Crosby and those pesky Penguins?
Take them out the knees.
Take them out the knees.
Yeah, that's my plan.
So that's what we got, Dylan. Quick suspension. Then
quick little. No, I think you go Well, first you have to go and actually start playing better. I think that's the first game plan.
Get some confidence against Montreal and New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, you have two games that give you opportunities, like you said, to build some confidence, to play, start playing some better hockey. And I think you go into that game against Pittsburgh feeling better. If you go in after struggling to beat or to lose to Montreal and or New Jersey, then things are going to get real interesting real quick in that Pittsburgh game, because they're making a strong push to make a long run in the playoffs. And it's likely that the division is going to go through them at some point, or you're going to need to go through them. So I think you want to go into that game ready to send a message and be like, we're back. We're not messing around anymore. And they've got two games to get warmed up for the Penguins.
If I'm remembering correctly, Samsonov was the goalie to start the game against Pittsburgh. I'm not.
Yeah, I think so.
So now that Holpe is somewhat heating up again, it seems like he's got his confidence back a little bit. Who do you have start New Jersey? Who do you have to start Pittsburgh? Because it's a back-to-back weekend.
Holpe in Montreal. Samsonov. Man,
they're two afternoon games.
That's a bad thing.
I mean, Saturday at 1, that's like your whole day.
What? The game will be over by like 3:45.
At the latest. Yeah, it's late.
All right, so anyways, if anything, it's a good thing, because then they get a good night's rest before they got to go to the rink on Sunday. So I would say Holpe against Montreal. I'd put Samsonov against the Devils, because Holpe right now is your number one guy with the way he's playing, so he can then start fresh against Pittsburgh. That's what I would do.
I guess that kind of makes sense. It is interesting that Brian McClellan did say he is not dealing Braden Holpe away at the trade deadline. Absolutely not.
Duh. Did anyone think he was going to?
People thought that it was Holpe that was going to be hitting the road, and because he hasn't been playing well. But he said,
"I think but who's going to be the backup? It's not going to be Vaněček or Copley."
Yeah, those are your
two choices. I know you want it to be.
Those are your two choices.
Well, then definitely not, unless you're bringing in a goalie in the Holpe deal. No, I think unless Samsonov was like rookie of the year, you're not making that move. I mean,
he's not doing too bad.
No, he's got to be. He would have had to have been the starter for a consistent amount of time. And you were like, yup, he's our guy. They're not. I don't think they're confident in, yup, he's our guy just yet. He might be after the season, because the financials will dictate that. But at the moment, I hope he's your guy. He's playing better at the moment. He's getting the game against Pittsburgh.
Do you think hearing that from your general manager kind of helps Holpe out? Say like, look, he's our guy. We're not going to talk about his contract till after the season's done. But going forward, he's our guy. Do you think Holpe's kind of sitting there going like, oh, all right, cool. Yeah, let's worry about this season.
I mean, he could have said that to kind of make him feel better, or he could have said that because he's getting tired of all the phone calls people ask him about Holpe. He's like, you know what? Let me just let everybody know so y'all can leave me alone about it. That'd be my guess.
Either way, it works.
One or the other.
All right, what else should we talk about in Caps world?
Former Capital Joel Ward will be returning to Capital One. He's actually going to drop the ceremonial puck, or the ceremonial puck drop, however the term goes, on Sunday's game against the Penguins. So that's pretty cool to have Joel Ward back in the arena.
Yeah, it's a lot of great memories with him.
Good old Joel.
Him and Mike Knuble beating the Bruins in the playoffs.
Oh, man, I like was not a fan of Ward at that time. For his play, not as a person.
The game.
But he had struggled, and I remember them scoring that goal. I was actually at my in-law's house, and I was like, yeah, we were all jumping up because they scored. And I was watching, I was like, watch the replay, because it was hard to see who actually scored that goal.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God, it was Ward.
Now, the game before, I don't want to point fingers at anybody, but I remember Wardo taking a really bad penalty towards the end of that game, and that kind of sealed the fate that the Caps weren't going to win the game before the finale because of his badly timed penalty. So he had some things to make up for, and he definitely did the next game.
No, I think when you look back at his career with the Capitals, it's a positive one. You're not looking back at it like a Shattenkirk. Or at one of those situations where you're like, you know what? That was just something that just did not work. You know, I think Ward had his good moments. He had his bad moments. But I think when you look back, he's a positive member of the team. He was a positive member of the community. And, you know, He seemed like he's a, I don't know him personally, but he seems like he was a good guy to have around.
He, I absolutely 100% agree with that. I think I met him at a, outside of Caps practice once, and he was a good dude.
You just like him because he's a Ravens fan.
Yes, he is a big Ravens fan. He knows how to pick winners, unlike Coach Dan with the Bills. And
that's what?
Yeah, Coach Dan of the Bills.
He doesn't. How's your playoff run go? Not as good as ours, so you zip it.
Yeah, we were there. We had one game.
Bills are in the playoffs, too. They have one game. Nah. You ain't got nothing to say right now. Zip it.
Also, Joel Ward, known for not knowing how to get out of bathrooms. That's also a part of his legacy.
Oh, I forgot about that until you just brought it up. That was really funny. That was one of the stories that came out, and you're like, what?
So good play on the ice. Good for a laugh every now and again. Good guy, Joel Ward. Happy to have him back in DC. All right. So is that it for Caps World?
Yeah. That's all the notes that I got.
All right. So that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. Here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is on your head and what's going on down on the farm?
Yeah, I got my Bears hat. Courtesy of Mr. Dennis Vitone. Thanks, buddy. This is very cool. It fits. It's got that weird thing where it makes it look like a train conductor hat on the front where the hat sometimes like pop up.
Well, you're the Bears are so close to Strasburg. They just want.
I don't know if it's the hats or the way my head is shaped, but hats look weird on me. But I like this one.
That's a good hat.
I wore it all day on what's today? Wednesday? I'm tired. I wore it all day on Tuesday at work. People were like, "What's that hat?" I was like, "Let me tell you about this little story about this hat." So it was cool. But speaking of those Bears, the past week Hershey went 1-1-1, very consistent. With a win over Lehigh Valley, the Bears are currently first in the Atlantic Division with 70 points. They're two up on second place Hartford, though the Bears have played two more games, so that's kind of a problem. They'll be back at it on Friday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton before heading to Bridgeport on Saturday. They'll be back home at the Giants Center on Tuesday against Charlotte. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 5-0. Well, I had to look at it a few times and be like, really?
Wow.
With wins over Norfolk, Adirondack, Jacksonville, and two over Greenville. They actually won that game over Norfolk 9-1.
Wow, really?
I was like, at some point, just stop. Like, you're being mean. Oh, once you're up by a touchdown, like, just stop.
I remember going to a Bears game. It was on Super Bowl Sunday a couple years ago, and the Bears were just I don't even remember who the team was, but they were just killing them. And when the opposing goalie actually made a save, the Hershey Bear fans clapped and applauded. We're like, hey, good for you, buddy. You stopped one. Way to go.
That's just mean.
Minor league teams, they can be vicious sometimes.
Apparently. They'll be back at it with two games before we talk again, starting on Saturday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Atlanta before hosting Worcester on Sunday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff happening with the trade deadline approaching. Everybody staying busy. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, before we get into some trades, let's start in Minnesota, where they surprisingly fired head coach Bruce Boudreau.
Oh.
They named assistant coach and former Caps assistant Dean Evason as the interim. When this went down, I told my wife what happened, and she goes, I saw him that Dean Evason's the assistant. She goes, oh, Mr. Silver Fox. I was like, oh, Jesus. Boudreau was not happy about dropping some F-bombs at GM Bill Guerin. He basically said, are you effing kidding me? And is looking to get back into coaching as soon as possible. My guess is he is a head coach of someone. next season. Now, he originally had said that Minnesota was going to be his last coaching gig, but I think this ended earlier than he was expecting, and I think now he's pissed and wants to get back into the league. He's 65, I think I read.
Jeez.
Yeah, Boudreaux getting up there. It was announced that Carolina will be hosting a stadium series.
Hold on 1 second before you get into that. Let me ask you.
Okay.
Let me just ask one more question. I mean, with Boudreaux's age and with his track record of not being able to get it done in the playoffs with certain teams, do you see him getting hired anywhere else? Like, does he still have an NHL job? Does he go to the AHL if he still wants to coach? Is this the last time we've seen Bruce in the big leagues? What do you think?
I think someone will take a chance on him. I mean, there's plenty of coaches that don't win the cup and are continually getting hired for new jobs because they've proven that they have the opportunity to win. I think things just didn't go well in Minnesota, and he's got some players that weren't playing up to the level that they should be playing at. And he had some players who were injured, and things just didn't work out. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a team take a chance on him. I mean, he has a good track record in terms of winning.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, I mean, we saw it in DC. He's definitely got coaching talent. I mean, he got some great years out of Ovi and a lot of other young players. He definitely helped shape how a lot of those players play today. It's just, it seems like the playoffs roll around and he kind of is like, oh, coaching. Right. What am I supposed to do now?
So, yeah. No, I expect to. I don't know if he would go back and coach in the minors. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be hard to do, but if he really loves it, maybe he would go. Maybe he'd start up his own team or his own coaching or hockey school kind of thing. Apparently his family really settled in Minnesota, so I wouldn't be surprised if he went and actually set up his own hockey school. I think that would be pretty cool.
That's a big hockey state, so yeah, go for it.
They tend to like the sport.
Yeah.
That's what my understanding. Let's keep going around the NHL. It was announced that Carolina will be hosting a Stadium Series game next season. The game will be played at Carter-Finley Stadium, home of the NC State football team. There was a rumor going around for a little while that the game was
like an hour.
Yeah, well, it was a strong rumor for that hour that it was going to be against the Caps. Like, everyone on Twitter was like, oh, they're playing the Caps. And then I think it was Samantha Bell came out and was like, the Caps are not playing in that game. Like, they've said that it's not them. So did they announce? I don't think I saw who they're playing just yet.
I don't think they have announced it, but you and I were talking on Saturday when this was announced, and we were trying to think like who was a rival that Carolina could go up against.
People were saying Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh, sure. Maybe the Rangers. I'm trying to think of like a big market. I'm just thinking of a big market that would bring in a rating for a Stadium Series primetime game. Because you think primetime game on broadcast television, who's gonna sell the most ads? Carolina Hurricanes aren't really that team. So you kind of need another team to make it a bigger deal for the entire country to kind of get into it. So I was trying to think it could be D.C., it could be Pittsburgh, maybe New York. I don't know. But, the Capitals, they do make sense. I mean, there is history, recent history, taking out the Stanley Cup champion team in the playoffs. I mean, I don't find it too far-fetched the Capitals would be the opponent there.
No, when I saw the rumor, I was like, well, I guess that makes sense. It doesn't appear it's going to be the Caps. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what's going to be. Watch it be like they're going against their big rival, the Arizona Coyotes. And I was like, well, what? They're going up against who? Are you sure? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they end up playing against.
I hope it is the Capitals and they bring back those sweet Navy jerseys.
No, Dials.
Bring them back.
Drive up your Baltimore and smack you.
Bring them back.
They were so bad.
Oh, I loved them.
Stupid cummerbund.
I wish that was the primary jersey right now.
I'm going to hang up on this Google.
Those third jersey right now, they're cursed. Get rid of them.
That is true. That is going very poorly at the moment.
Yeah. Get rid of them. Bring in those blue jerseys, the Stadium Series jerseys.
No. I'd rather go back to the stupid, dark red ones they had than that. No, you're wrong.
I think I'm going to wear that jersey to work tomorrow.
Also, it would have to be a white-colored jersey because they'd be the away team, dude.
We could work something out, I'm sure.
Okay, anyways. You brought up the trade deadline before. It may not be until Monday, but the fun has, once again, started early. So here are a few of the more interesting trades that have happened since we last talked. Pittsburgh acquired forward Jason Zucker from Minnesota for forward Alex Galchenyuk, defenseman Callan Addison, and a 2020 conditional first-round pick. The Islanders brought in defenseman Andy Green from New Jersey for defenseman David Quenneville and a 2021 second-round pick. I'm always curious when teams make a trade and they're like, no, we're not giving you our pick from this year. We'll give it to you from next year. Like, at what, like, how do you have that argument? It's got to be really interesting. Anyways, where did I leave off? Islanders trade. New Jersey, after sending Andy Green, they weren't done as they sent forward Blake Coleman to Tampa Bay for a 2020 first-round pick that originally belonged to Vancouver and forward Nolan Foote. Vancouver brought in forward Tyler Toffoli from LA for forward Tim Schaller, center Tyler Madden, and a 2020 second-round pick and a 2022 conditional fourth round pick. Ottawa sent defenseman Dylan DeMello to Winnipeg for a 2020 third round pick. St. Louis brought in defenseman Marco Scandella for a 2020 second round pick and a 2021 conditional fourth round pick. They sent those to Montreal. And Vegas made some noise acquiring defenseman Alec Martinez. I always want to call him Alex because Alec just seems like it's like half of a name or someone like messed up the X when they were writing it. Anyways, they brought in Martinez from LA for 2 second round picks, one in 2020 and the other in 2021. And let's wrap up this portion of tonight's program with some suspension news. Yay. It's our favorite part. Edmonton's Zach Cassian was suspended for 7 games for kicking Tampa Bay's Eric Cernak. Maybe Cassian just forgot that he had a sharp object at the bottom of his foot when he tried to kick the dude. You moron. I don't understand what he was doing there, but that was stupid. And finally, San Jose's Evander Kane was suspended for 3 games for elbowing Winnipeg's Neil Pionk. It's got a funny sounding last name. Kane came out after he got suspended with some rather harsh remarks for the NHL Department of Player Safety. To sum up his words, because I'm not going to read the whole thing, he said there's no consistency regarding who gets suspended and who doesn't. So the thing is, he's kind of right.
Yeah.
There is no consistency regarding who gets suspended, who doesn't, the length of the suspensions. Sometimes if they're a repeat offender, it matters. Sometimes it doesn't. Here's the other problem. You elbowed the guy, Evander. No one made you do that. So the suspension that you got makes sense. You deserve that suspension. Yes, you've brought up a good point, but you still deserve your suspension. So to complain that it's not consistent, I get it, but you still messed up and you get to sit out for 3 games as a result. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff when I have the energy to actually pick up my phone in the evening and send out a tweet. You can also find me talking about Arsenal Football Club and their big win over Newcastle 4-0. This past Sunday. Very, very nice win. First half, not so much. Second half, very nice. You also find me talking about football with the Bills. Now that Bruce Allen's gone, I'm starting to pay attention to the Skins again because he's just a bad person and just treated people poorly. I don't know. I talk about other stuff on Twitter from time to time. Don't I, Brandon?
Yeah,
we send stuff to each other once in a while.
You can find me trolling Coach Dan as much as possible.
That's very true. It just ends up getting into a gift fight between us. We end up one of us says something and the other one sends a gif, and then for the next 4 hours it's just gifs back and forth. And occasionally Ryan will chime in.
Oh yeah when you get Ryan butting in or whatever, you've done a good job fighting back and forth.
It's he does that in between him yelling and screaming about the Caps
yeah
on Twitter. Sorry buddy. But yeah, that's finding me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. But if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of interesting things about the Washington Capitals. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, it seems to be that you follow a rather well-liked football team, that being American football, that even has a player who only played for you guys for 3 seasons is going to retire as a member of the team. Isn't that Eric Weddle?
It's true.
So do you have a podcast where you guys might discuss that type of thing?
That's true. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you can go over and listen to The Call. That podcast is about the Baltimore Ravens, and we cover anything that kind of happens there. Hopefully some news will break soon. We'll actually be back behind the microphones for that show. But until
then, it's going to be a crazy offseason in the NFL. I have a feeling. Maybe not for the Ravens so much.
They got a lot of money to spend. They're going to be spending some
boots. No, I know, but all the crazy things are going to be around the quarterbacks, and y'all don't need one of those right now.
Nah, we good. We good.
You're good. You're good. Skins, maybe. I don't think they're going to go any of the big names that are out there right now.
Maybe they'll bring Joe Flacco in.
Isn't he in Denver?
They ain't keeping him.
I don't think they're going to bring in Flacco. Maybe as a backup. But, Bills don't need a quarterback. And it's going to be a crazy offseason in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, this is some of the most fun you can have as a fan, if you're a football fan, is the stuff that the front office is going to do.
Where's Brady going?
Oh, I think he's staying in New England.
You think? Why is he dicking around with all this stuff?
Money.
Oh, because he won't get that from New England?
Yeah, I think he's like, come
on. Dude, what if the Patriots are like, nah, we're good.
Yeah, like who else are they gonna bring in instead of Brady? Yeah.
I don't know. Who would they bring in? Breeze is no longer on the market. Oh, the one dude I was reading about, Andy Dalton. If the Bengals want to give him up, I don't think it would be much to get him. And I was reading some guy on where was I reading it? I can't remember at the moment, but someone was talking about how he would actually be like a perfect fit
for the XFL.
No, you doofus. For Grumpy. What the heck? Why can't I remember his name right now?
Grumpy.
The head coach.
Belichick?
Yeah. Sorry. That was a brain fart. He would be like a perfect fit for Belichick. I think they're talking about Andy Dalton.
Yeah, because
I feel like Belichick, if Brady goes to the Raiders, what's his name out there is going to be available? The Las Vegas Raiders.
Now, there's that. That's interesting. I mean, Brady to Vegas would kind of be interesting because that's a brand new team. They want to make a splash in a new market. That's interesting, but no, he's staying put with the Patriots. I don't see
you're saying he's staying put.
Yeah, that's what, okay. I think.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, like Coach Dan said, go over to our Facebook page, What the Puck Pod. We're also on Twitter. You can check us out over there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, there are actually 4 games. Caps are going to be busy this week. 4 games to talk about. On Thursday, February 20th, the Capitals are in D.C. welcoming Las Inhabitants. I think that's how you say it. The Montreal Canadiens are coming to town.
I don't know if that was right, dude.
Less Inhabitants? I think it's less? Less? I don't know. The Canadiens are coming to town. I'm going to cut that part out.
No, you got to leave it. That was funny. Well, that's right. We say lots of stupid stuff, and there's how many names that we say wrong.
Many. We are not professionals in any way.
We never claimed to be.
That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington, as well as nationally on NBC Sports. I just think the NBC Sports crew is like, Ovi, just score! We don't want to cover you guys anymore. Just score. Oh, my God.
Watch, they're going to be like, screw this, and they're not going to cover a game, and he's going to get a hat trick, and they'll be like, you jerk.
Yeah, I know. On February 22nd, Saturday, the Capitals travel up 95 to New Jersey. They're up against the Devils. A 1 p.m. start. Right in the middle of the day. Come on. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then back-to-back Sunday, February 23rd, Capitals come back to D.C. up against those pesky Penguins. That game starts at noon, and you can watch that on broadcast television if you're a cord cutter on NBC. And then on Tuesday, February 25th, the Capitals are up against the Jets, Winnipeg. They are in D.C. That game starts at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. Coach, that is a lot of hockey in a week. These guys are going to be tired if they're not already. This one's going to be a rough one, but what do you think? Four games, how many are going to be W's?
I don't want to play that game. I think it's good that they have four games. It gives them an opportunity to get into
the rhythm.
A nice little rhythm. Yeah, a nice little stretch, an opportunity to start playing some better hockey. It gives Dylan an opportunity to really get his feet wet with the team. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play against Montreal. I think we definitely see him in New Jersey.
Now, I just noticed this. This is interesting. So on Tuesday, the 25th, the Capitals are in D.C. against Winnipeg. We'll do a show on the 26th. And then on the 27th, the Capitals travel to Winnipeg up against the Jets. So they're going to have the Jets and then their next opponent, the Jets. So that first game on the 25th, hopefully there's no bad blood between the two teams. Hopefully there's nobody looking for retribution the next game, because that is a quick turnaround. We've seen many times how, you know, if something happens in one game and then they play each other the very next night or the day after, you know, there's some bad blood on that ice.
Well, with the acquisition of Dylan, I think the Caps are ready to deal with someone if they have to.
Yeah, get him, Dylan. Do it for Johnny, man. We do it for Johnny.
All right, wrap it up.
Do you know that reference?
You doing Scrub? No, you don't like Scrubs.
Yeah.
Oh, he must have been referencing something when the actor did that bit. No, I don't know what you're referencing.
The Outsiders, Matt Dillon. Come on.
All right, wrap it up.
All right, well, that's it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Suck it. We did it.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.